Matthew 24, we're going to read one verse, verse 12. Our subject this morning is cause and effect. Verse 12 of Matthew 24. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Christ talks to His disciples here in chapter 24 about the end of things, the end time hours, what's going to happen in the last days that the earth has to stand before His return. And I believe that in chapter 24 is interwoven both immediate prophecy with long range prophecy in this talk that He gives. And He's telling His disciples what to look for and what to expect as time rolls on and things near the end for the earth and the coming back of our Lord. Now, He shows them that things that they may expect to immediately happen. And at the same time, He forecasts what they and generations after them are to expect between the time of this lecture that He's given and the time of His return to the earth. And one of the evidences that He warns them to expect is contained in this, our text verse. He talks here about cause and effect. Cause and effect is a really well-known subject to most people. We see the results of the relationship between cause and effect every day that we live. In fact, we've lived out a week of cause and effect that has been going on around us and probably haven't paid too much attention to it except to scoot up a little closer to the fire. But that is, we see how out here in the weather that it's been very cold this week, and as a result, the ground's gotten frozen and the ponds and everything in general is frozen up out there. And another effect of this cold weather that's come is that some of you may have been looking at frozen pipes. That's always a threat and a dread in weather like this. And in fact, I went down to the Palmer Roadhouse the other day, I guess yesterday morning, and the outside freezeless water faucet out on my one side of the house was froze. It wouldn't turn on and off. I've got to go down there and take a torch and thaw it out and get it thawed back out before it freezes back in there far enough to mess up the water pipes. So we find that when the cold comes, the effect is things freeze when it gets so cold. And we find a lot of causes and effects going on in the world like that. One that's not so obvious to us, but is a thing that creates the cycles of Earth, is that the Earth rotates around the sun and turns, and as it rotates, it tilts in relation to the sun. It really isn't tilting, but it, because of the change in where it's at around the sun, different parts of the Earth aim toward the sun. And as a result, we have our seasons. The cause of our seasons is the Earth's rotation around the sun, and the effect is spring, summer, fall, winter. Cause and effect. Now, cause and effect is about relationships between things. And we use these two illustrations, and by using them, we're able to see that for everything that occurs in the universe, there's a cause that the Lord has set in motion, and it produces the desired effect that He intends. Cause and effect. Now, causes always have outcomes. Now, by that I mean that if there's something we call effect, there is an associated cause that goes along with it. Now, our text, as I said, talks about a specific cause and effect. It states plainly that in the final days of man's history, the presence and the influence of iniquity will have a certain kind of effect. And that effect will be the turning of the love of many people cold. Because iniquity abounds, the love of many shall wax cold, says our Scripture. Now, applying this to what each of us witnesses around us, I think we can see that this cause and effect is in action every day in this world. We see it in broken relationships between family members. We see it in things like road rage and violence between family members. A lot of crimes are a result of the love of many waxing cold. There's just all kinds of things going on among humans that are evidences of the love of many waxing cold. The gentleman who wrote the white and black article, Brother James, that you read to us during Sunday school, his feelings, his attitude, is an effect from the love of many waxing cold. Now you might think, well, that sounds like the craziest thing in the world. This guy's writing about God is all love, and it makes him not have to be responsible for answering for his sins, but the main thing that he's saying is God is 100% love. How can that possibly be an evidence that the love of many is waxing cold? This is a knee-jerk, carnal reaction to the coldness of the love that's in the world today. This man has responded in the only carnal way he knows. He's trying to get to a place where he can validate love by saying that God is 100% love. We see these evidences all around us. There's just evidence on every hand that today the love of many has waxed cold. Now we want to think about this characteristic of waning love in human cultures, in human societies, in human groups today. And most of all, we want to contemplate waning love among the people of God. Because that is the real concern that we should have. I mean, what the world does is their business in the sense that if the world goes after sin and after wrongness, we can't really control that because you can't control carnal critters. But what we can do is point to the Lord Jesus Christ, and people who have Christ as their guide, they can listen to reason and understand some things. So our concern is about the waning of love or the love growing cold among the people of God. Now, is this phenomenon applicable to the Lord's churches and its members today? That's the question we ought to ask ourselves. And the answer really is yes, I think it is. I think that we can see in the results of what's happening in the Lord's churches today that the love of many is waxing cold. Now, I know that in every generation, there might be ups and downs in this trend. But today, I think our Lord wants us to realize and be warned about the fact that the waxing cold of love among God's people can and does happen in different times and different generations. So with that in mind, let's look at this verse and think for just a few minutes about, first of all, the source of this decline in the love of many, this waxing cold of love. The source is quoted by Jesus like this, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. What does that say? Well, we need to notice, first of all, that the Lord Jesus didn't specify which laws are being increasingly broken. And that's what that word iniquity is there. That word iniquity is a Greek word, anomia. And this word means illegality, a violation of the law. We usually think, when we think the word iniquity, we think of gross sin. Well, gross sin is part of an aspect of iniquity, but the Greek word here means illegality. It means violation of the law. Lawlessness, if you will. So we need to notice that Christ, in His statement, doesn't say, now this is the kind of laws I'm talking about that people are breaking that's causing love to wax cold. I like the way He generalized it and said, because iniquity shall abound. He says, all kinds of lawlessness shall abound. We need to remember that because we find in our world today, in all kinds of groups of people around America, that all kinds of laws are being broken. It's not just the laws of man that are being broken. The very moral and cultural and behavioral laws that hold societies together are being broken. And worst of all, the laws of God are being broken, not by just the unredeemed, but by God's people also. And as a result of that, the love of many is waxing cold, just like Jesus prophesied. So He didn't specify which kinds of laws are being broken. And I believe because of that, we need to take it that He means all kinds of laws are being broken. And He didn't specify which kind of love is waxing cold. And because of that, I think we need to take that to mean any and all kinds of love are waxing cold. And the proof of it is all around us. Now, breaking all kinds of laws, and we need to understand these ideas or principles surrounding this thing of iniquity abounding and causing love to wax cold. The breaking of all kinds of laws will occur. And divine laws, man-made laws, cultural and social laws are all included in that. And we need to realize that the class of people that this will occur in the midst of will be all kinds of people, all classes of people, lost people, saved people, rich people, poor people, all manners of people this is going to occur in according to Jesus. And He is occurring today. And the love is going to be all kinds of love that's going to wax cold. Now, as we look at this idea, we realize that first of all, breaking the law and seeing the number of lawbreakers increasing, according to Jesus' own prophecy, is going to promote emotional coldness. And it does. And it has. Whether it's breaking the laws of the land or breaking the laws of God, it's all one and the same. It promotes emotional coldness. Now, how does this work? How does this thing work of lawlessness causing love to wax cold? Well, first of all, we see that as lawlessness abounds, we find that we are affected as God's people by the lawlessness of people around us. That's the first thing that we saw. What I'm seeing, and what I'm going to get to in a minute, is our own inclination, our own temptation, our own propensity to break laws also has an impact upon our inner selves. But first of all, when we see people breaking laws all around us, it suggests a lack of moral and ethical foundation that we have come to expect humans to exhibit. We think people ought to live civilized, and when we see them breaking the very laws that they've agreed to live under, we lose respect for them. And we come to distrust them. And when we come to distrust them, we come to hold them at arm's length. And when we do that, what we've really done is we've lessened our capacity and ability and willingness to exhibit love toward them. That's how it happens. And that's what's happening today. And that's how the Lord's prophecy is being fulfilled, that the love of many shall wax cold when this lawlessness that we're seeing in our society abounds the way that it is. So, that general breaking of the law and breaking of the social laws and breaking of the laws of God and violating the principles of God causes us to distrust people. And when we distrust them, we're going to hold them at arm's length. And we're going to doubt everything they say and everything they do. And that distrust, that lack of confidence in them is going to cause us to not want to show affection toward them or do things of charity toward them. That's how it works. Skepticism cools affections. And we're seeing that all around us today. Now, how does this work as a result of law breaking in you? And you might say, well, Brother Fire, I don't break the law. Yes, you do. And I do too. We break laws. We not only break man's laws, but we break God's laws. The temptations are strong. It happens. We're doing it. Now, the glorious thing about all of this is, I want to just say right here that although we fall into temptation just like any other human being, this does not say that lawlessness or law breaking must abound in you as an individual. It does say it'll abound. And we can expect that as an outcome of the way humans are behaving. But let's not expect that because iniquity shall abound, that therefore it's a license to us to let lawlessness abound in our life. That's not what it's saying. But it does happen. How does this work? When your own heart looks upon your own lawbreaking. Well, first of all, lawbreaking hardens the heart. When you disobey God's laws, when you disobey man's laws, you get hardened toward further obedience to those laws. You really do. If you get away with it once or twice or three times, the heart gets harder and harder. And pretty soon, you think that law that God has given us is really of not any great serious consequences. And we might just go on and break it altogether, not even live according to it anymore. That's hardness of heart. It happens when God's people begin to break one of God's rules and then continue in a behavior pattern that in which they continue to break that rule. The same thing happens, and I can illustrate it, by the breaking of the laws of the land. It's real easy to speed, isn't it? We all do it. Most of us do it inadvertently. We're just not paying attention to what that speedometer's saying. That's why I use my cruise control so often, because if I've got my foot on the gas pedal, one thing I know I do, I don't pay close attention where the speedometer's at, and I will speed in a heartbeat. Well, now, if I am thinking about something or even praying or whatever I'm doing going along the road and my foot gets heavy on the pedal and I go up to 60, 65, I've broken the law. It doesn't matter whether I knew anything about it or not. I've broken the law. Now, when I do that, and I do it inadvertently, repentance comes easy. But let's just suppose that I say, you know what, doesn't matter. I've got to get there quicker than usual. I'm going to put the pedal to the metal. And I do that and make it all the way there, and man, I got there 10 minutes early. So the next time I say, well, I got there 10 minutes early that time, I'll do it again. And the next time I say, well, I'll just do it again. And pretty soon, every time I go certain places, I've got the pedal to the metal. How long does it take? How many times does it take for me to speed going to that place until I'm hardened to the point that I don't care anymore whether I speed or not? The only thing that stops that is the blue light flashing in my rear view mirror. And then all of a sudden, I discover repentance. I don't know whether you do or not, but I do. What am I saying? Because lawlessness abounds, the love of many waxes cold. And what we see in this very illustration is my love for obedience to the laws of the land waxes cold the more I do it. The more iniquity or lawlessness or breaking the law abounds in my life. And when this happens to you, your heart will get hardened. And because your heart is hardened, you'll get impervious almost to any kind of chastening word from the Lord. And as a result of that hardened hearts just love less. I think every one of you can testify to the fact, because you've known somebody who had a hard heart and you called them hard-hearted. And the reason you called them hard-hearted is because you recognize that they didn't care anything about anything. They didn't love you. They didn't love their family, or they didn't love their children or something like that. And that's what caused you to start thinking about them being hard-hearted. Hardened hearts love less. That's the way it works upon us. And that's why Jesus could say, when lawlessness or law-breaking abounds, the love of many shall wax cold. Now, what are the symptoms of this decline in the love of many in the last days? Oh, by the way, brothers and sisters, we're there. We're in the last days. And the love of many has waxed cold. But what are the symptoms of this? We're looking for symptoms of love having waxed cold. And here's a partial list of symptoms among professing Christians. You can talk about mothers abandoning their kids out there. You can talk about brother murdering brother and sister murdering sister and children murdering dad. You can talk about what we call domestic crimes of violence. And you can lay out the statistics on those. And there's plenty of them that shows that the love of many is waxing cold out there in the world today. But what are the symptoms among God's people? First of all, we see a disappearance of concern and love for lost souls around us is a prime symptom of love waxing cold. It may be one of the first things to begin to go is we lose that love to see lost souls saved. We lose that love for those lost sinners out there that God would have us to witness the gospel to. That's the first symptom. Another symptom is there may be even a hardness of heart in us toward lost souls. That's one step down from just losing the love for seeing lost sinners saved. You actually get a hardened heart about sinners. You look at them and you see their profane behavior and how they live in the community, and you're thinking, I can't stand him. I don't want to be around him. I don't even want to think about him. He's so wicked. You've took a step downward. You've gone from not having a concern and love for him to having a hardness of heart toward him. And this love waxing cold manifests itself in other ways also. What about this? What about a decrease in love for fellow believers and church members? That's another thing that comes along pretty early on. A decrease in love for fellow church members and for other Christians. That happens when the love waxes cold in the soul of a child of God. You just somehow or another get to where you don't really care that much for your brother or your sister in the Lord. That's a symptom of love waxing cold. What about this one? Maybe a hardness of heart toward fellow believers and fellow church members. That's a step down toward a greater waxing cold of your love as you live. I believe God's people can get a hardness of heart toward the fellow church members. When you don't care what happens to your brother or your sister, you've got a hardness of heart. It's there. And that's a symptom of love waxing cold. And that love waxing cold comes from the abounding of breaking of the law of God and maybe of men. Here's one. Decrease in the love for the Word of God, which goes along with a decrease in the reading of the Word of God. This shows a coldness creeping in concerning the love that we're supposed to have. The love that God puts in our heart in the new birth. The love that He starts there as the Holy Spirit does something for us. That love can wax cold and cause us to lose any gladness or excitement or anything else about reading the Word of God. And that can go on downgrade to the point that reading the Word of God may slow or slump or even come to a halt as love waxes cold. Something that goes along with that is when God's people sometimes have love waxing cold in their lives, they'll They'll stop listening to the Word of God when somebody's preaching it. It'll fade or it'll go completely away and they won't want to even be around and listen to the Word of God anywhere. And following hand in hand with that, and right after that, maybe at the same time, when love waxes cold among God's people, there will be a decrease in love for coming to church. It happens. And I think if there's any glaring, screaming witness that the love of many has waxed cold today, brothers and sisters, it's seen right here in this church building, in the empty pews that are all around you. The love of many shall wax cold, our Lord has said. And I believe there's Christians out there today that aren't going to church. And the reason they aren't going to church is because their love for the Lord Jesus Christ and the things of God and the Word of God has waxed cold. But you know something? Here's a warning for us. Your love can wax cold right in the pew of the church building. It can. Not only can there come a decrease in love for attending church, but another symptom really closely associated with that is a carelessness about attending church. Oh, I like to go to preaching, but hey, I'm not going to go to Sunday school. I don't particularly care to have to sit through a Sunday school hour and listen to the Sunday school teacher. I think preaching during the Sunday morning service is enough for anybody. Oh, and by the way, I got things to do. I won't go tonight. What is that, brothers and sisters? That's the love of God's people waxing cold. And when it does, those are the things that fall by the wayside. Decrease in love for attending church, carelessness in attending church, or just stopping attending church altogether. And then there's something else that is a symptom of love waxing cold. A decrease in love for righteous living. Because following close on the heels of a disinterest in going to church and serving the Lord and supporting your church will come this thing of a lack of interest in being righteous in your daily life for the Lord. A carelessness about living holy. Or even going far enough as to begin to live worldly before the Lord. Those are symptoms of love waxing cold. Some other things can follow right on the heels of these symptoms. And I know you're going to think, now, Brother Myers, you're taking a little too far when you're talking about Christians to talk like this about them. But I believe that symptoms deepen as love waxes cold. When law-breaking abounds, when God's people begin to ignore or despise the Word of God and the things of God and the laws of God, the rules of holy living, the rules of doing the right thing at the right time and begin to live worldly lives and do worldly things and not serve the Lord through the church as they ought to, other things more terrible will follow and can certainly follow. How about substance abuse? You think, well, Brother Myers, God's people would never become substance abusers. Yes, they would. And when the love waxes cold, that is one of the very real and potential traps that God's people can fall into. When the love of God's people waxes cold, they may actually become engaged in abuse of family members. They may become engaged in domestic violence. They may become engaged in what we call broken homes, breaking up marriages, separating children from parents, parents from children, and wife from husband, and husband from wife as a result of love waxing cold. And we find the same thing happening in kids when they, as saved people, let that love wax cold. They can become disobedient to parents. They can become disinterested in parents and anything the parents have to add to their life. And on the opposite side of that, parents can become neglectful of their own children as a result, and their children's spiritual well-being as a result of love waxing cold. What's the solution for this decline in the love of many. The love of many shall wax cold, the Lord says. What's the solution for this decline? I think as God's people, we need to become aware that this statement by our Lord says many, not all. That's one solution. What I mean by that is if it says many and not all, it means that you are not forced into it by some predestinated will of God, and that everybody's going to wax cold with their love, and everybody's going to do these things, and everybody's going to become lawless and law-breaking as a result. Everybody's love is going to wax cold. That doesn't mean that at all. It says many. It means that you can be exempt. It means that there's an out for you as God's children. We have a way out. And the way out is to follow the will of God. To understand that God has not said, hey, everybody's going to get lawless. And as a result, everybody's love is going to wax cold. Just isn't so. You have a source for strength. And if you use that strength, if you gain that strength, if you seek that source, you'll have a solution. That source is the Lord Jesus Christ and the leadership of the Spirit of God. And we also need to face iniquity for what it is as a threat to you. What is this law breaking? What? How does it relate to you? What does it mean to you? Face it for what it is, because what it is, among other things, is a true and dire threat to your spiritual life. Becoming lawless, whether it's breaking the law of the land or breaking the law of God, has dire threats built into it for your spiritual welfare. In a lawless and law-breaking society, there's not going to be much out there to encourage you to be lawful. There isn't. There's not going to be much outside yourself to encourage you to be upright, to keep the law. It's in you that power will come from, because in you is the Spirit of God which will enable you to say, no, thank you. I will not break the law of the land, and I will not break the laws of God. The Holy Spirit enables you to do that. And be aware that the opportunity for breaking the laws of the land and for violating the decency rules of our society and for breaking the laws of God, the opportunity for those things is always out there, and nobody is going to condemn you for it out there in the world. You can do just about anything you want to today, and nobody's going to condemn you for it. I mean, when you've got a country where the national leaders are breaking laws on every hand and setting that as an example that we are allowed to live by, how in the world can you expect anything out here in our world to encourage you to not break the law? So, nobody's going to condemn you for it because everybody in the world is encouraging you to it. It's just the carnal way. But the Spirit of God can show you the way to keep the laws of the Lord and the laws of the land. Titus 2:14 tells us that the Lord Jesus Christ gave Himself to redeem us from all law-breaking iniquity, as it's put there. And He's able to do that. Here's my conclusion, brothers and sisters. We're in a time of lawlessness. And in this time of lawlessness that we're entering, lawlessness is openly flaunted in our society. I mean, it looks to me like that people have the idea that as long as there isn't a cop around, they'll do whatever they please, anytime they please. This is bound to catch on if you live in that society. It's bound to tempt you as one of God's people. If you live in a society where anything goes and nobody condemns, and if the law isn't looking, you can get away with it and might as well, this will spill over into your spiritual life and the keeping of the things of God. You'll be tempted to say, well, no big deal. You know, that's what's happened to a lot of our kids today. They go to school and they're encouraged to these things by a whole liberal staff of teachers that are in our schools. And believe me, that's most of what we have. And they're encouraged by their peers. I do it. You're nothing but a square if you don't do it. Lawlessness. Encouraged on every hand. And in this law-breaking society that we're in, that we're living in today, when there are state laws forbidding acts of perversion and acts of murder and other crimes, you can do these things if they're the right kinds of perversions and the right kinds of murder. You can be a homosexual today and flame all over the court square and nobody dares to do anything about it. Yet there are laws on the books that say homosexuality is a crime. At least a misdemeanor. You can kill a baby down at the local clinic, go down there and have it murdered by a doctor, pay the doctor and walk out, and yet there are laws on the books that say a murderer must pay the penalty adjudicated by the court. What the court says he will pay, he will pay. This is the society that we live in. The lawlessness of many is with us. Lawlessness is abounding. Why is it abounding? Because our lawmakers and our law enforcers are hypocrites. And we are encouraged to likewise be hypocrites. Don't buy it, brothers and sisters. Don't buy it. God has called us to righteousness. God has called us unto holiness. And whatever the laws of our land say, we should attempt to do them, although the highest officers in our land are breaking them. And although the laws of our land or the enforcement of the laws of our land will allow you to murder and to create and act out perversion in your lifestyle, the laws of the land say that murder is a criminal offense, and in most states the laws of the land say that certain perverse acts are criminal or misdemeanors or some other law-breaking activity. We need to obey the laws of God and of our land regardless of the lawlessness that is abounding, because when lawlessness abounds, the love of many shall wax cold. And the ultimate effect upon you is not how much lawlessness is acted out, perpetrated by people out there, not even by other Christians. But the effect or impact upon you happens when you buy in to breaking the law. Well, all the other Christians around are not observing this rule of God. Why should I? You should, because God says so. That's all I know to tell you. It's not got anything to do with whether 99 out of 100 break that rule of God. It's got to do with what will you do with the laws of God? What will you do with the laws of the land? What will you do with them? Because if you go along with the lawlessness or the law breaking, your love will wax cold. And when that love waxes cold, your heart will get hardened to the things of God. Your heart will get hardened to your fellow Christian, your fellow church member, maybe even your family, your loved ones. And as a result, that coldness of love will work the greatest havoc in your life that you can imagine. The apostle reminds us when that he brought up those great three virtues, and he said, "Now abideth these, faith, hope, and charity or love. But the greatest of these is love. And if you let the greatest of these wax cold, you will be in serious spiritual trouble. But you don't have to. Call upon the Lord. Look at the Lord's rules. Follow the rules. Believe that the Lord will strengthen you in it. Follow after Him in the way. You don't have to worry if everybody else waxes cold, long as you don't go into a state or a behavior pattern of breaking the law. Your love will not wax cold. And you'll have a fire in your soul for the things of God and the things of mankind and the things of your Christian brothers and sisters. You'll retain that love that burns for the Lord because of the Lord.